Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And the 13th verse, if you will look at that with me. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It is this that I call your attention to in verse 13, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So what is this evil day? Do you think we're living in the evil day? I think we're living in the evilest day that there's ever been in evil. I think that it is a very evil day. But I not only want to speak to you about the evil day corporately, but I also want to apply it to our lives for your evil day. I'll tell you what I mean in just a minute after we're done praying. Let's pray. Father, please guide us in these moments. We need you, O Lord. Now, there's some folks that are going through some very difficult things in their life. It is their evil day. Help them, I pray, O God. Help us to learn the key from your word, and God, for your direction and guidance. And I pray, our God, that you would be magnified, that in this evil day that this world goes through, as we face our evil days, have your guiding grace in your hand. And Lord, may we glorify you greatly. Teach us now, O Holy Spirit of God, what we need. And Lord, we pray that you will be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. Our home church that Diane and I are members in is in Tucson. And I'm not the pastor there. I was a pastor of another church in Tucson, and when I resigned, we left that church, so the new pastor, the young assistant pastor that assumed the church, could become the pastor of that church. Otherwise, if I hung around, because I've been there since the Ark, they would always look to me as the pastor, and that young pastor would not have had a fair chance to be the pastor of that church. So that meant that Diane and I had to vacate the premises, and we had to go to a different church. So we went to the church where Mike Gradwell is the pastor, and Mike was assistant here years ago and taught in the school and so forth. A wonderful servant, great preacher, of the Word of God, and he's a great blessing to us. We enjoy him being our pastor. And so this week we got from our home church where we're members, we got two communications from a couple of people that are going through some really hard things. One of them is a lady that is has cancer, serious cancer. And the doctors have told her that it's very critical and probably terminal, and this week she wrote and said, just joyously wrote this wonderful email, and was telling what she's going through and the chemotherapy that she begins this coming week and the effects that she's that the doctor's telling her it's going to have on her body, which are not good, as you know how chemotherapy is. But she was rejoicing in the Lord and just greatly thrilled at God's guiding grace, even though knowing what the ultimate prognosis is. She was rejoicing greatly. Another one of the ladies in the church, recently her sister died, and she believes that her sister professed Christ before she died, and that she was instrumental in bringing her sister to the Lord as Savior. But my wife called her this week just to encourage her, because we heard that she was really discouraged. And so Diane, who has a close relationship with her, and this lady was, both of these ladies were leaders in the church that are well respected. Everybody in the church loves them and respects both of them. And this second lady, Diane called her, and she was in the pits. I mean, the pits of depression. And Diane asked her about, you know, that she heard her sister died and, you know, how is she doing? And the ultimate story was that she went on, they talked, and since you don't know either of these ladies, you know, I think that I can share this story with you. This lady was really discouraged. And when she went to die, when she went to hang up, Diane said, "Can I pray with you?" And she said, "Yes, I need it." And Diane said, "What can I pray for you?" And she said, "Will you pray that God will take me home? That's the only prayer request I have." That's depression. Both of those ladies facing difficult, hard things. And the Bible here, as it's talking about it, is talking about the evil day. What do you do when you face your evil day? What do we do when we face corporately this world and the evil difficulties that that it brings to us as believers? Both of those things, I think, that are fair things to be asking out of this passage of Scripture. And Paul here is giving the church at Ephesus the direction on how and how to deal with our evil things. By the way, if you don't have evil things that are going on in your life right now that are difficult for you, hang on. Your day's coming, honey. It'll be around the corner here soon enough. So these are principles for you from the Scripture that you will need. But he's particularly talking, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So the Bible here is speaking about these particular issues. And notice that this is a command, that the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. One of the things that we need for our evil day and for the evil day is the whole armor of God. And it is that which God has to do. God has to take us through those things. There's two different ladies. They are going through different things, but the same kind of really hard things for their lives, but they're coping with them in very different ways. And the Scripture here is telling us how that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So there are a couple of different aspects of the evil day that we are concerned about. And one of those is when the devil uses as his wiles. The wiles of the devil here is talking about his schemes or his trickery. Do you know that the devil is a liar? Jesus said he is a liar and the father of it. He was a liar from the beginning. John 8:44. And the devil seeks to, when we are going through that difficult, evil time in our life, that he then attacks us through his wiles. That is what the scripture here is talking about, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. They are those things that are what we must be aware of. Paul wrote about it, 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We know that he's a liar. We know that he uses trickery. He lays traps for us. And many times when we are going through the evil time in our life, whether it be something physical, whether it be something financial, whether it be something familial in our family matters that we are facing, that the enemy tries to use that to put you in the pits and to keep you from going on with God. We are not ignorant of his ways. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Satan is not above anything. He will use trickery and discouragement and depression to try to defeat you. In the Revelation 12, verse 9, the Bible says that of him the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He is a deceiver, a trickster, a liar, and he will seek to do everything that he can. The scripture goes on to say he was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. That's why we have a problem, is because he's roaming around the earth and our atmosphere, attacking God's people and using his wiles in his way and creating and enhancing that evil day. The evil day in your life, the evil day in the world generally that we face. And so the Bible says we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, but against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we have this opposition with the devil that verse 12 of this sixth chapter talks about, we are struggling against his opposition. And part of that is what the Bible here is calling principalities. Principality is talking about magistrates, or we would call it the police force in our day. And the devil's police force are his minions of demons that are seeking to cause havoc in our lives and cause difficulties in amongst us. Powers, as it's talking here in that 12th verse, is against powers. That is, we struggle against these delegated influences, these authorities that then make these stupid laws that seek to hinder and hurt and impede the work of God and the cause of Christ. And brother, I think that California is the queen of all of the states in that. But anyway, it is those powers that the devil uses in this day. Also, he talks about the rulers of the darkness of this world. That is, world rulers, like some of the world rulers that we have right now in this world. Putin, Biden, some of these world rulers that have immense authority, spiritual authority, political authority, that are affected by the influence of the evil one and are causing some of these evil days that we are talking about, and also spiritual wickedness, which is in spirit is that which is spirit in nature, and it's malicious and depraved. And of course, we see that on the religious world, some of the things that are happening in some of the religious ways where terrorists are killing people, innocent people, like 1,200 and some Jews that were innocently recently killed, and like Muslims that are being innocently killed by spiritual wickedness in high places. That's in the name of religions. And so that evil day, Satan does, here's the point, is that he does anything that he can to try to trick people and to try to deceive the world and to try to influence the world in an ungodly way. And he does the same thing in our lives individually, is that he brings things into our life to try to bring defeat, discouragement, despondency. Sometimes it's physical things that the enemy brings. Sometimes it's financial disaster that comes into our lives inappropriately. Sometimes it's family things that happen in our lives that are that the devil then tries to use to defeat us, to discourage us in the same way. So the Bible here then is saying, wherefore, because of this, because of the devil, because of the enemy, because of the these things, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, in your evil day, in this evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. You see that word that is occurring over and over again? When God does that, boom, 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 in the scripture, he's trying to get our attention to say, hey, don't miss this. Get this. He's talking about stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So what is our responsibility in this evil day? First of all, he said we are to withstand. That means stand against. We are to resist the devil. We are to resist the enemy. We are to oppose those evil things and that evil way, not give in to it. We are to stand. That is a different word. It means to be staunch. It means to stand erect. It means to stand out from the crowd. Stand up. Take your stand, we would say in modern English. It means don't run away and hide. It means stand up for Jesus. Be that soldier of the cross in these evil days. So get this. When you're going through your evil day, that financial problem, that family problem, that physical problem, it's not the time to run away and hide. That's the time to stand up for God. Use this as an occasion for the glory of God, and that people would see through you the hand of God working, so that you can say, look what God has done. Amen. Now, I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible says. It says that we are to stand, that we are to withstand. It says it again, therefore, stand, therefore. We are to stand, and having done all, to stand. God is saying, this is the time. Now, remember my two ladies? The one, she's sending out an email to everybody, and she's saying, God is working in my life, and this is what I'm facing, but God is faithful, and God is helping me. The other lady is withdrawn, and she's saying, just let me out of here. See the difference? The difference is how you react to what God is doing. And so God here is telling us that our responsibility is to stand up for God in the midst of our evil day, our difficulty. Now, what are the necessities that we need to do or to use to stand up in that day? He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. That is, that we are to wrap our midsection, our loins. This is the loin area, right here. And we are to wrap the truth of God around us. Now, the truth in the Bible is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the living truth. Therefore, that's the time that we must run to God. We must run to Jesus. We must not withdraw from God, but it's the very essence that we, and the necessity that we run to God and wrap him around us, that the truth, the living truth, would be with us. But in the same sense, the Word of God is the written Word of God. That is, the Word of God is the written Word of God. Jesus is the living Word. The Bible is the written Word of God. So what's the very thing, the very first thing that in our flesh we do when we go through our evil day? Stop reading the Bible. What's the second thing we do? Withdraw from the people of God. Oh, they don't pray anyway, a bunch of hypocrites. They aren't there for me when I had need. You know where that's coming from? The evil one. Because he is a trickster and a liar. And he will seek to alienate God's people from each other and seek to tell those lies. The Bible says the thing we're supposed to do is to wrap the truth of God around us. And the truth of God is Jesus and the Word of God. And the very thing that is going to help us is the very thing that, if we do the opposite of it, is going to destroy us. When we have at that evil day, the first thing that we've got to do is to wrap the truth around us. The Bible says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And having done all, take the shield of faith wherewith we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These are the things that we are supposed to do. First of all, taking the truth and having that truth upon us. The second thing it says is that we are put the belt around us, wrapping it around our midsection. Beyond that, the breastplate, he talks about, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate is talking about going over the breast area. We would call that this area as protective of the most vital organ in the body, which is what? The heart. So in a physical sense, it would be to protect the heart. Because if, you know what, when they are trying to determine if someone's not alive, what do they check? The pulse. They're checking to see if the heart's beating. That's what determines whether someone's living or not, whether they're breathing, whether their heart is beating. Because the heart is that most elemental organ to the body that is necessary. In a spiritual sense, the Bible here is talking about putting on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our spiritual heart. Now, our spiritual heart is talking about our decision maker, because the decisions that we make decide what we're going to do, where we're going to go, what's going to happen. And that decision maker is of prime importance. So we are to put on the breastplate. And what is this breastplate? Righteousness. It is that decision. Are you listening? It is that decision to protect the decision maker by making that decision. Do right. Do right. Do right. Don't do what what you feel like doing. Don't do what you what somebody would tell you to do. Do what you know the Bible says is right. So when we put on the loins are covered with the truth of God, and then we decide we're going to do whatever that truth is, and we're going to do right, to follow the Lord, go to church, follow the Lord, pray, be faithful, do what God would have us to do. That these are things that will help us. Are you getting this? For your evil day, when the devil is attacking, and when you are facing incredible pressure, it covers the heart, that righteousness, that decision to do right. And a wise old man said, do right till the stars fall. And it's a great thing. There's a song that Ron Hamilton wrote, do right till the stars fall, do right till the last call. He is urging us as the people of God to do right. It's part of standing in the evil day. How that we this is what maintains us to stand. Then the Bible talks about the third piece of the armor of God to put on, and that is your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having our feet shod is that feet covered. Now, the feet are the human transportation mechanism. Mm-hmm. It's how we get around. And if you have neuropathy, or you have your feet have been burned or hurt, that you can't motate around on them, it limits you significantly. And so this mechanism is really important. And the Bible here is talking about how that it is the that we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, or where we are going in our directions, that it is with the gospel of peace, and it's that readiness to give the gospel that brings peace to everyone else. You see how necessary it is that when we are having our evil day, that we're not consumed with ourselves, but that we recognize that God is taking us some places so that He can use, get this, that He can use our debility, the thing that we are facing in pressure, to give the gospel out to others, that it will bring peace to them and the peace of God. And as we do that, as we are ministering to others in the midst of our grief and our hurt, it's therapeutic for us. It's beneficial for us. It is the very essence of what the armor of God, the whole armor of God, will do for us in the midst of those things. Philippians puts it this way, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It is that which God then does in us and with us and through us. Ephesians 6:16 goes on to talk about the next piece of the armor of God, taking the shield of faith. That is, this shield, a great, large, movable, mobile, protective device. You see, the shield of faith is not something like this that you hide behind. No, that's not the shield of faith. The shield of faith is like this. It's like the shield that you're using to ward off the arrows that are coming in, that are protecting you. It's mobile. It's something that you are functionally using for the defense, for your defense, is that shield of faith. The Bible calls it a buckler in the Old Testament passages. And he says, notice this in verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all of these other things, taking the shield of faith. It's the time to believe God, not to doubt God. It's the time to trust God when we're having the evil day. not to hide from God. It's the time that we take the shield of faith as those incoming attacks of the enemy are coming and we're fighting them off, as we are using the shield of faith to have the protection of faith at what God, only God, can do. And he says, above all, that is, most importantly, in all circumstances, when you're having that evil day and facing those kinds of circumstances, believe God. It's the time to trust him and follow him. And what happens when we do that? It says it quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. Notice that in the passage, how that it says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How? By believing God. By trusting God in the midst of the crisis and the tragedy and the difficulty, that it will give you that sustenance. If there's ever a day to walk by faith, it's in the evil day. It's not the time to run. It's not the time to hide. It's not the time to doubt. It's the time to believe God and put that shield of faith up, believing that God is going to take those attacks, and as they are defeated, that it will bring victory and the power of God in your life. And then the Bible says another piece of the armor of God is to take the helmet of salvation. He's talking there about the hard hat of salvation. That is the doctrine, the truth of God. It's the time to believe God. He saved me. I am his child. I am, and I know that God is there for me, even though I feel lonely and I feel empty. It's the time to believe God. And what he says about salvation, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Believe God. Trust God for that doctrine of salvation. See, the helmet is what protects the brain. It protects our thinking process and remembering, our remembering mechanism, and allows us to meditate upon salvation truth in the evil day. Thinking about God, what he's done for me, how he saved me, how he's going to see me through this, how that he never forsakes me and leaves me, how that he will have the victory in all of these things. The Bible then goes on to talk about the next piece of the armor of God, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is that sword of the Spirit, or the blade, that is our offensive weapon. So in the day when we are facing that evil day, most people want to retreat. The Bible says, no, stand, and having done all to stand. Don't retreat, stand, and then use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Bible here says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrows, a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When we use the Word of God, it is the powerful mechanism of God for the Holy Spirit then to use in incredible ways beyond what we can even ask or think. And it is that which integrates action of the Word of God and the Spirit of God working together in the midst of our evil day. Well, the Bible here is giving us his direction of how that happens in our lives when we are willing to do that. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in their hearts to give the light of God through the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You understand that God wants to use your evil day for His glory. Stand. Having done all, stand. Put on the whole armor of God, stand. Stand for Jesus in those days. 1 Corinthians 3:15, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart of lost people. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The liberty in the midst of the evil day comes through the Spirit of God and allowing the sword of the Spirit to be used of God. So what are the accoutrements for this evil day? The Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Scripture is talking about this is a time to pray. But let me ask you a question. What's the hardest time to pray? It's the evil day. When you're going through that agonizing pain, that chronic, inescapable pain, it's hard to pray. It's hard to focus on God when you're aching and you're hurting and you're wounded. When your child, your family member, your loved one has done you wrong. It's hard to pray. When the creditors are beating on your door and you have no means of pacifying them, it's hard to pray. But it's the very time that the Bible says, praying always with prayer and supplication. Stand. Stand. Having done all, stand. Pray. Pray with all prayer and supplication. The Bible here is it's talking about praying, is praying through all of those difficult times. Prayer means asking God for things. I mean, asking God specifically for things. That's what prayer is. It's not generally praying. Listen, let me make a bold statement here. This may set you off, but think about it. Prayer is when you ask God for something specifically. And that is something that when God answers it, you know that God did it, that God answered that prayer because it was so specific. Maybe it's not prayer when we pray generally, God bless, God help me in this situation. Maybe it's only prayer when we pray, oh God, I need $4.35 by 2 o'clock today. Oh God, please supply, please help me. Because that's specific. It's that specific kind of prayer that God is talking about here. And prayer is asking God for these kinds of things. And he says, with all prayer and supplication, that is, asking and asking again for God to supply, begging God, pleading with God, seeking God. Praying in the Spirit is praying by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, not for yourself or by your flesh, but seeking God for what God wants to do so that God gets the glory. Amen. Learn this lesson, and it will help us significantly in our evil day. And then he talks about watching here, watching thereunto with all perseverance. That is, watching is keeping alert in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to make us aware and alert to what's going on, that with all endurance and not quitting, but believing God, trusting God, seeing God do great things, and with all supplication is seeking God's supply for all of the brethren, not self-focused upon things, but what is God's going to do and what God can do and what God would be glorified in. Do we live in that evil day? Yeah. These are the last days. Do you have evil days? Yeah. Because we are the people of God and we face an enemy And if so, then we have our instructions for this particular time. Wherefore, brethren, take unto you the whole armor of God, and let us walk obediently and faithfully no matter what comes. The evil day will come. The evil time will find its way to us. The enemy will attack you. And some of you are under that attack right now. And this message is for you. Let God do what God wants to do. There's great lessons here in all of these things. Now the responsibility is for us to take the whole armor of God and do what God says in His Word. Father, I pray that You would be glorified, that You would be honored, that Your name would be praised, and that God, You would have Your own way, O Lord. We seek to bring glory and honor to You in Jesus' name.